Andy, how would you compare this new album, Gambling with the Devil, with the album Keeper of the Seven Keys Legacy, and maybe some of the past albums?
Well, it's only got some influences of the Keeper Legacy stuff in it, which means there are some excursions to the older days, but then again, I would rather describe it as a very modern album, and in a way of modern Walls of Jericho, modern Master of the Rings, and one or two excursions into the Keeper area, I think. I think that would be the best description.
Andy, it seems as if you had more collaboration between members on this album and as far as the songwriting goes.
Influences, everybody's got influences on the other songs. That's clear, because you're a band. At the end of the day, you try to put your own ideas as best as you can into the other songs. Then again, if the songwriter or the main idea bringer says, no, I don't like it, it's not a problem. And you look on, or you just keep with the stuff he offered, which at the end of the day, I learned the first offer is most of the times the best offer. You're always trying to kind of reinvent the wheel, but then again, we know the wheel already exists, so the first offer is most of the times the best offer, because it comes from heart, and it's not written with like your brain. You have to write this or that because the people may like this more than that. But at the end of the day, I think everybody has written on each song as good as you can, and I would say it's more or less to the same parts. This time Marcus wrote a lot of songs, a lot of good songs, so it should be the question which will be the B-sides and which will be A-sides. That's a question not solved already, but then again, I'm quite confident that Marcus ends up with at least two tracks on the album.
Andy, it seems to me that on this new album, there were more multiple people, I guess multiple collaborations between members on songs, where before, the last couple albums, two or three albums actually, there was only one songwriter credited. And, you know, why is that? Why did you guys decide to change that formula?
Well, it's, as always, individual people write individual ideas at the end of the day, and they end up on the Halloween table, and the band then tried to find out which songs their hearts beat.
Mm-hmm.
Their hearts beat. So that's as always. Then from the idea bringer moment, the band is asked to do the best possible job. As you know, one guy of the band has to have the idea, and then the band takes it because they love it and tries to make the best song out of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's always the same story. Actually, you cannot say this is the main guy or main songwriter, blah, blah, blah. No, it's just a couple of ideas on the table, and if you find fans, you go for it. If you don't find fans in the band, then it's probably a song which is not being touched.
Mm-hmm.
So I would never describe it as songwriter A did this and this and this song, and songwriter B did this and this and this. That's not true. It's a band's album, as always.
So how many songs does each member of the band actually have on this new album?
Well, it should be 2 to 4 Wyke. It should be 2 to 5 Marcus. There are like 3 to 5 Andy. There is 2 to 3 Sasha.
Okay, so everybody collaborated. It wasn't...
Yeah. At the end of the day, you have to find out which will be the final A-sides and which would be used for B-sides. Then again, nowadays B-sides are not so... What shall I say? They are not really B songs. Nowadays, a B side appears on the special edition for Japan, a special edition for Europe, special edition for US. There are like extras for the first single, blah blah blah. So they are released more or less on the majority of albums,
mm-hmm.
not as B side in earlier days, which would only appear on 10,000 singles or something like that,
mm-hmm.
in a certain country, and the other country would have another B side, blah blah blah. So B-sides are meanwhile spread worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
So B-sides are, for me, not a testimonial for a bad song or something like that, you know.
Mm-hmm. You know, explain to me what some of the songs are about and maybe the meaning behind the title of the new album.
Well, it's that gambling with the devil thing. So you can take the smallest thing that you gamble with the devil when you say, okay, I'm going to sign a contract for music and don't go to university. It's already gambling with the devil because you don't know if it will ever happen and if you're ever satisfied years later. Up to the big things, the political things, where there's like the real gambling with the devil, could affect Earth, could affect mankind, could affect everybody's life. So these stories going from little problems to the real stage concerning the planet, gambling with the devil thing. And all the lyrics more or less go through that theme.
Uh-huh.
It's quite interesting. Sometimes you laugh about it because you recognize yourself. Sometimes it's maybe very, with a lot of black humor, very much sarcasm. For example, the album will probably start with Kill It, a song which is actually about the assassin guy from the reigning might of, like, concerning conspiracy theory, blah, blah, blah.
Uh-huh.
It's a very dark theme, but then again, it's only that guy singing of his profession in brackets, and it's very brutal. It's very brutal, and I already hear a lot of voices out there who think that we are the bad guys now. But then again, it's him singing, it's him talking, you know. So this should be clear for everybody. We are still a positive band, but when there are a lot of bad things going on, you should actually be capable of telling the people that you had this or that experience, that you have this or that idea in your mind, or this or that point of view. But concerning Kill It, it's very brutal. It's a very brutal description of gambling with the devil, put it that way.
The intro of the album, called Crack the Riddle, had Biff Byford of Saxon doing the narration. And how did you hook up with him to do your narration to start the album off?
Oh, we know each other since years because we're playing the same festivals. Like every second summer, the bands are on summer festivals, and certainly you know the people. And I used to sing a song. It's called "I Need to Rock." I sang it together with Lemmy from Motorhead and Biff from Saxon, and Angry from Roaster 2. It's a great song. It's probably being out in October as a download thing, like a fan thing. It's like a heavy metal AC/DC song, if you ask me.
You,
I
Biff,
really like it.
You, Biff, and Lemmy singing a song together.
Yeah, it's very nice, very interesting.
It's got to be interesting.
Yeah, and I was kind of the greenhorn being asked to sing as well, because in comparison with those guys, they are icons, and I'm a newcomer icon.
Well, what was it like singing with Lemmy?
Yeah, it's cool.
He's got to be an interesting character.
Yeah. I mean, at least these are, like, very different voices, so you don't actually need to listen twice to recognize people, you know?
Yeah.
Because the voices are so far away from each other. It's just great. But it's blending great. It's really cool. Yeah, and because of that, the idea was to ask Biff if he would have fun to record that spooky, playground announcer kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And he did. It's cool. It's really cool. And it's called Crack the Riddle because it's the intro, which is important for the riddle inside the booklet. It's not very easy, but I think a metal fan can solve the riddle. It's like, you know, these rubber riddles where you have to rubber-free something?
Mm-hmm.
And under it, you find something, and which can help you to solve the riddle. And to solve the riddle, you also need that intro.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And we thought about, like, having prices on each and every continent, which means if you, for example, in U.S., would win the riddle, you can choose to come with us onto another continent, like for Japan or Europe, whatever you like.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the main prize for the fans out there. Every continent has a winner and can choose for himself, can choose a continent to travel with us.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think too.
Now you guys are touring. You guys are going to be touring with Gamma Ray. And What's it like playing with a band that is an offshoot of Helloween and has a former member of Helloween in it? And, you know, how did you guys decide to arrange this tour with Gamma Ray and Helloween both playing on the same stage together through an entire tour?
On the Wacken and Bang Your Head festivals, we used to play the last two songs we used to play together with Gamma Ray. We used to play Future World and I Went Out. And so the guys from Gamma Ray came up stage when Helloween played, and the fans were just going apes. They really did not believe it. And so the idea was born that sooner or later we should actually do a tour together.
Mm-hmm.
And then have like little surprising packages in between the shows of Gamma Ray and Helloween later on, that the guys from Gamma Ray will certainly be upstage with us playing again one or two great songs as the final encore or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just great, a great package for the people to see, finally see the people back together on stage. It's not a reunification, but then again, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Now, will Gamma Ray tour with you guys when you come to the States?
I'm not quite sure. I know that they are going to be with us in Europe and Asia. If it'll be a worldwide thing, maybe U.S. as well. I'm actually not the right guy to ask that.
Mm-hmm.
So still, I don't know. But I could imagine that Gamma Ray would be great for U.S. as well. But then again, I'm not sure if they can afford it. Put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because then again, it's for them, it's a lot of money to invest. If they want to invest, or can invest, I think it should not be a problem to take them to U.S. and South America even.
Mm-hmm.
It should be cool, but then again, traveling there costs a lot of money.
Yeah.
And, well, simply, there you have to go into business talk. They are not the ticket sellers, so for them it's a risk.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. I mean, we're up for the idea to take them with us all over the world, but I know it's now fixed Europe and parts of Asia.
Now, are you considering coming out with another solo album again? Because it seems to me that you have so many songs on all the Helloween albums that maybe, you know, maybe we'll never see one of those again.
Because that would mean that there will be no songs for a solo album left. And this is what happened, actually, the last few years. There were too many songs I've written ending up on a Helloween album, which
mm-hmm.
is great for me, but then again, there's no solo album stuff left over. Never say never. Maybe I got to run and write 10 great songs in 2 or 3 months, but honestly, I don't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Wait and see.
Andy, of the songs that were recorded before you entered the band, which one would be your favorite live to sing live? You know, like songs of the Keepers or Walls of Jericho or anything like that. You know, what is your favorite song to sing live from the older catalog?
Live?
Yes.
Well, in the moment, I'm very much into Helloween.
Okay.
Yeah, because this is the newest song in the set list. We checked it out for 3 festivals on the last festival tour.
Uh-huh.
And it was just absolutely great to sing that song, because it's a great song. It's got a lot of heritage. It's got a lot of history in it. And when I finally realized that I can sing it in my way and the people enjoy it still, it's just a lot of fun. It's having so many parts and so many different ups and downs in that song.
Mm-hmm.
But I would definitely... Yeah, I take that one.
As a band that's been around a very long time, and as a musician yourself who has been recording and touring for at least 20-some years, do you still find anything you can improve on? And is there anything you think that you could still would need to learn and improve on as a musician, even after all this time?
Yeah, I mean, the last question, if there's still time to improve, I think this is the main question for every band, being around that long.
Mm-hmm.
You always try to, but then you always find the borders, the limits where you can't reinvent yourself, you know.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, you always try to improve, but then again, it's it's nearly impossible to improve yourself because you're repeating yourself. The only thing you can try to do is find new ways to express in your style of music with new sounds and not close your ears concerning new sounds, but try to involve them and try to let them help your music to evolve.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the key. Because, I mean, people would not like us to change, I think, or to improve too much. So you always have to take care to more or less stay where you're supposed to stay. If you go back, for example, to the Dark Ride album, there were a lot of people who were pissed off because we were progressing too much in their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people out there appreciated this style of music. Nowadays, we are happy to have done a dark ride because it gives us the right to take this or that dark ride-ish song onto a new album because the people are used to it.
Uh-huh.
So at least we gave ourselves a bit more space. That's what happened. But it would not mean that you should reinvent yourself in a total different direction because it's still a brand called Helloween. And going back to the first part of the question, when I joined the band, it was quite clear that I have to try, together with Wyke, to get back on the track where this band belongs to, which means you're not doing chameleon pop rock music, but you're doing hard rock and metal music.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we try to do in that hard rock, metal, speed metal genre or genre. You can actually try to swim yourself free, so to say, with a dark ride, preparing the people that in upcoming albums there will be songs sounding like this or that too. And the people nowadays probably will not complain because they are already used to that, to these excursions. But I'm sure that you should not write a whole album into a whole different direction.
Uh-huh.
Because I think even if you as a band would go in with a complete new direction, it would not be a new music. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what did you actually do then? You just threw away your own brand and copied another. I think that would be the wrong way. Stick to where you belong to and do what the people expect you to do for at least 60-70%, and then take 30-40% and swim wherever you want to swim to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's the right way. You satisfy yourself as a musician because you don't feel like standstill, and also try to satisfy the people out there who expect a certain music.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Of the songs that you wrote for the album, Andy, what were some of the lyrical themes about? You have that little trilogy with The Bells of Seven Hells, I Am Me, and Falling to Pieces. And, you know, maybe explain to myself and, you know, to the audience that will be listening to this interview what these tracks and these songs were about.
Well, there should be around about six, maybe seven. Out of 14, and I think, as I told you, at the end of the day, there should be 12 ending up on the album.
Uh-huh.
Lyric-wise, as I already said, it's all about gambling with the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Personal life things, gambling with the devil, up to the political big stage.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is in there. Well, there's a kind of trilogy. Three songs, more or less, belonging together, which would be The Bells of the Seven Hells, fading into Fallen to Pieces, and that one fading into I Am Me.
Yeah.
And these three, more or less, belong together, because it shows, like, the typical history of your own life up to the, again, political stage. Whatever you want to put in, you can.
Yeah.
You absolutely can. It's about that. The Bells of the Seven Hells, for example, is like the typical, if we take everyday life, it's the typical thing that you don't know who you are. You just follow the one who shouts the loudest. That's like how all the wars started, or even your personal wars start and end up in a disaster, which means you're not yourself.
Uh-huh.
You don't you're not having the guts to stand up for yourself. You rather take the easy way and follow the others, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Which is very, very dangerous, because if you look at my country's history, you know what can happen with that behavior.
Yeah.
So as a German, I know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
then if something like this happens and you realize, like for example, the Second World War, later on, I think the people realized what they did by not showing civil courage, by not standing up and going against that system, but running with it like sheep, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And if that happens and everything went down to hell, then your life would fade into the second song, which would be Fallen to Pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And Fallen to Pieces is something like that process where you have to find yourself. You have to realize that you have to be responsible for your life. And you have to pick up the pieces. You have to kind of rebuild yourself, rebuild the cities, rebuild the world in the most, well, in a not perfect world.
Uh-huh.
And then that whole process would hopefully lead into the third song, which is I Am Me, that you actually have the guts to really stand there as a personality and shout yourself. If something goes wrong, you stand up and say, well, that's not the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Shut up, sit down, leave that guy alone. If we think about Subway, or if we think about who kind of attack people, and you've seen a lot of people standing around and just watching, but not acting. You know, they are just they are just watching, as if they would watch a movie. But there is no courage to stand up and go against it. You know, it's unbelievable. I've seen some of these documentaries, like in Germany or France or Spain or all over the world, where you can see people attacking others and the surrounding just watches.
Yep.
You know, it's unbelievable, but it happens day after day. It's unbelievable. And I Am Me, the last of these of this trilogy, is like, you are somebody, you stand up, you learned from your past, and you say, this will never happen again, because I am me, and I know what I'm standing for, and, you know, something like that. Yeah, you really stand up, you show courage, you know who you are. You don't need anybody to tell you where to go to, because you know exactly what's wrong, right?
All right.
And these are, as I say, in the whole Gambling with the Devil content, it's for me a trilogy which stands for myself, actually, which stands for my last 20 or 30 years, where I learned to be myself, where I learned not to follow others simply or only because they're shouting louder than the others. You know, I think this is very important in our lives.